Surah At-Taghabun. Taghabun means deprivation, another name for the Day of Judgment. Taghabun also means to deceive each other, to cheat each other. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yusabbihu lillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth is exalting Allah. It is doing the tasbih of Allah. It is busy praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which includes all the planets, all the stars, everything in the galaxies that we can imagine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it exalts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. To Him belongs dominion, and to Him belongs all praise, and He is over all things competent. It is He who created you, and among you is the disbeliever, and among you is the believer, and Allah of what you do is seeing. He created the heavens and earth in truth, and formed you, and perfected your forms, and to Him is the final destination. Allah says, وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ سُوَرَكُمْ Sawwara, it's from Musawwir, artist. We are, each one of us, a piece of art. Art in its perfection. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imagined it, the way He designed it, and the way He created it. Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ in Surah At-Teen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made insan in the best of stature, upright, symmetrical, balanced in form, and balanced in nature. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ So blessed is Allah, the best of those who create. This is an ayah to be thankful for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that look at yourself in the mirror, the way you are, the way you move, the way you speak. Allah says, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ He has taught us eloquence. He has given us a mind to perceive things. It's amazing what our brains can do, the human brain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proud of us, and He should be, because He has created the best of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be grateful to Him for that, so that when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we don't see what we don't have, but we see what He has given us, and to be thankful to Him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a beautiful dua to say when we see ourselves in the mirror. Allahumma anta hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi. O Allah, You have given me a good physical form, a beautiful physical form. So also favor me with good morals and manners. Khalqi means my creation. Khuluqi means my character. Ya'lamu ma fis samawati wal ardi وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُسِرُّونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ He knows what is within the heavens and earth, and knows what you conceal and what you declare. And Allah is knowing of that within the breasts, in the secrets of our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we conceal. Is it iman or is it disbelief? Is it hypocrisy or is it disobedience, fisq? Allah also knows whether we are truly grateful for Him, for His unlimited blessings upon us. And Allah knows what we say with our words, and whether it is truly a reflection of what is in our hearts. Allah says, Has there not come to you the news of those who disbelieved before? So they tasted the bad consequence of their affair, and they have a painful punishment. That is because their messengers used to come to them with clear evidences, but they said, Shall human beings guide us? And disbelieved and turned away. And Allah dispensed with them, and Allah is free of need, praiseworthy. Those who disbelieve have claimed that they will never be resurrected. Say, Yes, by my Lord, you will surely be resurrected. Then you will surely be informed of what you did. And that for Allah is easy. وَذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ So believe in Allah and His Messenger and the light. The light, the Qur'an, and Noor. Qur'an is Noor. Allah says, which we have sent down, and Allah is acquainted with what you do. He knows whether we consider the Qur'an Noor or not. يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُكُمْ لِيَوْمِ الْجَمْعِ, the day he will assemble you for the day of assembly, that is the day of deprivation. يَوْمُ التَّغَابُن. The word تَغَابُن also suggests having been outdone by others in the acquisition of something valued. So people are racing with each other to get something valuable, and some outdid others. That day, the disbelievers will suffer the loss of paradise to the believers. That is the day Allah says, ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ التَّغَابُن. And whoever believes in Allah and does righteousness, He will remove from him his misdeeds and admit him to gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide forever. That is a great attainment. Another name for Yawmul Qiyamah is Yawmul Hasra, the day when we will be regretful. May Allah save us from that. Ameen. The day when people will be regretful. The greatest regret will be for the disbelievers and the hypocrites. But Muslims and believers will also have regrets. They will look at the reward of those who went ahead of them. As-sabiqun al-awwalun, ulaika al-muqarrabun. Those who raced ahead of the foremost ones and those who were brought close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When someone will be brought close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the others will look at them with hasra and they will wish that they had done more good deeds. They will wish that their bad deeds had not held them back. They will wish that they had used every single minute of every single day to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had done things to please Him when He had reminded them, and they had taken the Quran as a reminder. It will be Yawmul Hasra for everyone, except for the ones who were up ahead of others, the people of Al-Firdaus, the prophets, the martyrs, the shuhada, and the siddiqeen. Allah talks about missed opportunities and squandering benefits in the Quran. Allah says, "Shall we tell you whose works will bring the greatest loss? Those whose efforts have been wasted in the life of this world, while thinking they were doing good," in Surah Al-Kahf. These are people full of smug self-righteousness. It is ingrained inside of them, so they spend their lives spreading corruption, campaigning to alter clear-cut religious precepts, or making a show of their piety, imagining all the while that they are acquiring virtue. Ultimately, such people will suffer the worst of regrets. An American novelist and satirist wrote, "Of all the words of mice and men, the saddest are, 'It might have been.'" Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah lists 10 matters that he wishes us to meditate over, so that in the afterlife we will not say to ourselves forever, "It might have been." He writes, 10 things which, if lost, have no benefit. Number 1, knowledge that isn't acted upon. Number 2, works of iman that are bereft of sincerity to God, or conformity, meaning to the Sharia and to Sunnah. 3, wealth from which nothing is spent, so neither is joy gained by hoarding it, nor is it sent on ahead to the afterlife. 4, an empty heart, a heart empty of Allah's love, yearning for Him and intimacy with Him. 5, a body devoid of obedience and service to Him. 6, a love that doesn't confine itself to the beloved's pleasure, to Allah's pleasure, nor does it comply with His commands. 7, a moment of time not used to rectify one's remisses, one's mistakes, or cease to do good works and draw closer to God. A moment of time. Subhanallah. 8, a thought that dwells on what is not beneficial. One thought, a single thought. 9, serving someone whose service doesn't bring you closer to God, nor does it rectify your worldly affairs. 10, your fear of or hope in someone whose forelock is in God's hand. To trust someone who is simply a creation of Allah and is himself a captive in the divine grasp, possessing no power to bring about harm, benefit, death, life, or resurrection. The greatest of these losses, the root cause of all losses, are two things: wasting the heart and squandering time. The heart is wasted when the world is given priority over the afterlife, and time is squandered by procrastination. Surah At-Talaq, طلاق divorce. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها النبي إذا طلقتم النساء فطلقهن لعدتهن وأحصوا العدة واتقوا الله ربكم. O Prophet, peace be upon him, when you Muslims divorce women, divorce them for the commencement of their waiting period. Meaning a wife should not be divorced except after the completion of her menstrual period, but before sexual intercourse has occurred, or else during a confirmed pregnancy. The pronouncement of divorce begins her waiting period or iddah. Iddah is a time when she cannot remarry, she cannot marry any other person. Allah says, and keep count of the waiting period and fear Allah your Lord. Do not turn them out of their husbands' houses, meaning even after divorce, especially the first and the second divorce, the reconcilable divorces, the woman is supposed to stay in the husband's home and she is allowed to beautify herself for him. We have already studied the details in the second juz in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah says, do not turn them out of their husbands' houses, nor should they themselves leave during that period, unless they are committing a clear immorality. And those are the limits set by Allah, and whoever transgresses the limits of Allah has certainly wronged himself. You know not, perhaps Allah will bring about after that a different matter. Such as a person might feel regret at the divorce, or there might be a renewed desire for the wife. And this is in the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She does have to leave the house after the third divorce. The same husband divorces her the third time, because that is an irreconcilable divorce. Allah says, and when they have almost fulfilled their term, either keep them according to reasonable terms or part with them according to reasonable terms, and bring to witness two just men from among you and establish the testimony for the acceptance of Allah. Allah orders that when you take your wife back, you must have two witnesses. Or if she is finally divorced and the iddah period is over and you do not want to take her back, there must be two men present. Allah says that is instructed to whoever should believe in Allah and the last day. And whoever fears Allah, he will make for him a way out. Allah orders the divorce to be carried out in such a manner, and Allah says this is the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you truly believe in Allah and the last day, the way we deal with other people in our lives is a reflection of the level of our iman, is a reflection of the level of our belief in the hereafter and the day of questioning. So Allah then says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ, whoever fears Allah, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, he is going to take for him, create for him a way out, meaning a relief from distress. This is a very distressful time in anyone's life when people are going through a divorce. But for anything else in life, because Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ, whoever in whatever situation fears Allah, and they are in a constriction, they are bound by something, it is difficult for them, but they keep to the fear of Allah and do not do anything haram. They continue to watch how they behave and make the choices very carefully. Allah says, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, he is going to make a way out for him. It is the responsibility of Allah then. Furthermore, Allah says, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ, he will provide rizq and sustenance for him from where he simply did not expect at all. An unthinkable and unimaginable way. From that source, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide rizq. And particularly, this is encouragement for women who will not have any savings, who will not have a way to earn money. Allah says, Allah will provide for you. And whoever relies upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. What does it mean to rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have you ever had that feeling of anxiety in your heart? What if it doesn't work out? What if you never get over it? The truth is, we all feel this way at some point in our lives. Sometimes the uncertainty is too much to bear, or we cannot see any light at the end of the tunnel. Jinan Yusuf, a contributor, said, we do have a pill. The pill is called tawakkul. Like any pill, It's sometimes hard to swallow. There are moments when we wonder whether this medicine even works, or if it is just some tool to make us simply believe we can be better. But Allah, the One, the Only, is in control of the universe and has said, فَوَمَنْ يَتَّوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whoever relies upon Allah, then He is sufficient for him. So what does it mean to have tawakkul in Him? It means first of all to be firm in your heart. Relieve yourself of worry after you have planned. Do not concern yourself with what Allah has undertaken on your behalf. Even if things do not go according to plan and you should try, know that Allah will give us something better. A beautiful story Jinan shared. Imam Ahmad said the happiest day of his life was when he woke up one morning only to find no food in his home, because he knew that on this day he had to rely completely on Allah. Imam Ahmad was very, very poor, since he didn't have the means as we do to just go to the market and buy what his heart desired. Alhamdulillah. And second, tawakkul requires training. We are human, and every now and then we will feel this uncertainty, a loneliness, this knot in the stomach that maybe our situation will not work out. And it's okay to feel like this, because it is about reminding ourselves to trust Allah at that precise moment. If we truly rely on Allah in the way we rely on our doctor, when we know we have the best one around, this trust can only give us the peace of mind and tranquility of heart, knowing that Allah is always doing the best for us. This tranquility is developed when we face situations of discomfort and uncertainty. When we face them over and over again, it means Allah wants two things from us. He wants us to have tawakkul upon Him, to train us to do tawakkul, and to have patience. These two things go hand in hand. These particular ayahs are the best dose of tawakkul we could possibly have. Allah says, "And whoever fears Allah, He will make for him a way out and will provide for him from where he simply does not expect. And whoever relies upon Allah, then He is sufficient for him. Indeed, Allah will accomplish His purpose. Allah has already set for everything a decreed extent." Meaning that even for hardships, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed an extent. They will not survive longer than that. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah then says, "And those who no longer expect menstruation among your women, if you doubt, then their period," meaning the idda, "is 3 months, and also for those who have not menstruated yet. And for those who are pregnant, their term is until they give birth. It could be a few weeks or it could be a few months." Allah again says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. "And whoever fears Allah, He will make for him of his matter ease." This is a second gift for the one who fears Allah. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will make his matter easy for him. It will become easy simply because you have feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says that is a command of Allah which He has sent down to you. And whoever fears Allah, Allah says the third time in this surah, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَيُعْظِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا. He will remove for him his misdeeds and make great for him his reward. The reward is going to be increased, magnified. Alhamdulillah, three benefits for fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, what does taqwa mean? Taqwa means to walk very carefully through a pathway full of thorns on either side. So the first thing, the first gift for a person who fears Allah, Allah says He will make for him a way out and will provide from him from a completely unexpected source, and Allah will be sufficient for this person. Second thing, whoever fears Allah, Allah will make his matter, his predicament, easy for him. Third, whoever fears Allah, He will remove for him his misdeeds. Simply because a person has feared Allah, Allah will forgive the misdeeds, the mistakes, the sins that we have committed. and make great for him his reward. This is actually the fourth thing. Allah will magnify the reward. Allah will give tawakkul to this person because this person is relying upon Allah. And also Allah will magnify the reward for this person. Alhamdulillah. So five things in total. Will make for him a way out. Provide for him from an unexpected source. Give him tawakkul. Make his matter easy for him. Remove his misdeeds. And magnify his reward. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Lodge them, meaning the women during their iddah, the women who are divorced, in a section of where you dwell out of your means, and do not harm them in order to oppress them, meaning do not harm them, do not force them to leave or to give you fidya and ransom themselves. And if they should be pregnant, then spend on them until they give birth. And if they breastfeed for you, meaning your child, then give them their payment and confer among yourselves in the acceptable manner, meaning talk to each other, have mutual consultations about the child. But if you are in discord, then there may breastfeed for him, meaning the father, on father's behalf, another woman, meaning a nursing mother. Let a man of wealth spend from his wealth, and he whose provision is restricted, let him spend from what Allah has given him. Allah does not charge a soul except according to what he has given it. Allah will bring about after hardship ease. This is a rule of Allah. Divorce is a very difficult situation. And at this moment, people can lie. They can cheat each other. They can hide their finances from one another. They can use their children as emotional blackmail against each other. They might slander each other, defame each other in public so that people look at each one of them in a favorable way. Throughout all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stresses taqwa and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best of behavior is demanded from a believer at the time of divorce. The divorce of a believer will not be the same as a divorce of a disbeliever or a divorce of a hypocrite. Both parties, if they are truly believers, will exemplify their behavior with each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it will become easy for you if you just fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now comes a warning. And how many a city was insolent toward the command of its Lord and his messengers, so he took it to severe account and punished it with a terrible punishment. And it tasted the bad consequence of its affair, meaning its rebellion, and the outcome of its affair was loss. Allah has prepared for them a severe punishment. So fear Allah, Allah commands now. So fear Allah, O you of understanding who have believed. Ya ulil albab alladhina amanu, meaning the people who have believed are supposed to be people of intelligence. Allah says, Allah has sent down to you a message, the Quran. He sent a messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reciting to you the distinct verses of Allah, that he may bring out those who believe and do righteous deeds from darknesses into the light. So people who believe and do righteous deeds can also be in darknesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to extract them from there. And whoever believes in Allah and does righteousness, he will admit him into gardens beneath which rivers flow, to abide therein forever. Allah will have perfected for him a provision. It is Allah who has created seven heavens and of the earth the like of them. His command descends among them, so you may know that Allah is competent over all things and that Allah has encompassed all things in knowledge. All of these ayat are about the central theme of divorce and how each of the parties should deal with each other. May Allah grant us His taqwa in every aspect of our lives, whether it is an easy time or whether it is a hard time. Ameen. Surah At-Tahrim. Tahrim means the prohibition. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu laka? تَبْتَغِي مَرْضَاتَ أَزْوَاجِكَ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. O Prophet, peace be upon him, why do you prohibit yourself from what Allah has made lawful for you, seeking the approval of your wives? And Allah is forgiving and merciful. Al-Bukhari recorded that Ubayd bin Umair said, that he heard Aisha radiallahu anha claiming that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stay for a period in the house of Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha and drink honey in her house. She said, Hafsa and I decided that when the Prophet, peace be upon him, entered upon either one of us, we would say, I smell maghafir on you. Have you eaten maghafir? Maghafir are the gum-like substance that is made from cooking the mimosa flower. It's a flower with a bad smell, but the gum can be sweet depending on the species. Now the Prophet, peace be upon him, was very, very conscious of dental hygiene. He used to brush his teeth with the sawak multiple times a day. The wives were jealous because he used to spend more time at Zainab bint Jahash's home in her hujra. So the two of them, Hafsa radiallahu anha and Aisha radiallahu anha, came up with this idea which might ensure that he would not spend so much time there. So when he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, entered upon one of us, Aisha radiallahu anha said, she said that to him. He replied to her, no, but I drank honey in the house of Zainab bint Jahash, and I will never drink it again. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so simple and so sweet to his wives. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the following ayat. Ya ayyuhan nabiyu, lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu laka? O Prophet, peace be upon him, why do you prohibit yourself from what Allah has made lawful for you, seeking the approval of your wives? And Allah is forgiving and merciful. Allah has already ordained for you Muslims the dissolution of your oaths, and Allah is your protector, and He is the knowing, the wise. So Allah says, give up your oath of saying, I will never drink it again. This was also important because the Sahaba followed every single thing that the Prophet ﷺ did. If he made honey haram on himself, then none of us would have drank honey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah azza wa jal would protect Rasulullah ﷺ in his public and his household matters. Allah then says, and remember when the Prophet confided to one of his wives a statement, and when she informed another of it, and Allah showed it to him, he made known part of it and ignored a part. And when he informed her about it, she said, who told you this? He said, I was informed by the knowing, the acquainted. The statement that the Prophet, peace be upon him, confided to one of his wives was either the fact that he told her he had had honey to drink, or that he was taking a vow not to have it anymore. Allah knows best. But she actually shared this secret with another wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed both of them. And then Allah says, if you two wives repent to Allah, it is best, for your hearts have deviated. But if you cooperate against them, then indeed Allah is his protector, and Gabriel, and the righteous of the believers, and the angels, moreover, are his assistants. There could not be a sterner warning than this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the wives not to cause trouble for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said Allah himself will protect him, Jibreel alayhi salam will protect him, all the righteous believers and the angels especially will protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this truly was a stern warning. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, perhaps his Lord, if he divorced you all, would substitute for him wives better than you. Submitting to Allah, believing, devoutly obedient, repentant, worshipping, and traveling, once previously married and virgins. Traveling meaning emigrating for the cause of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life was already challenging as it is. It was more challenging than any other prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, especially among the Ulul Azam, the prophets of great determination. Without him having to deal with all of these little politics in his home, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in effect puts a stop to it. Allah then says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who have believed, protect yourselves and your families from a fire, whose fuel is people and stones. How does this fire burn? It burns by burning people. It burns by burning stones, subhanallah, over which are appointed angels, harsh and severe. They do not disobey Allah in what He commands them, but do what they are commanded. The word qu is also from taqwa, wiqaya, to be cautious to protect oneself. The first we have to protect ourselves. We ourselves have to learn our basic deen. We need to read the Quran with understanding from the beginning to the end, so we understand our book of life, the manual for our life. And then we have to teach our families. We start with iman, with the pillars of Islam, the pillars of our belief system, believing in the angels and the books and the prophets. And then we also teach them the pillars of Islam, the rituals. In fact, one of the earliest rituals a person should teach their child is salah. The Prophet ﷺ said, order the children to pray when they reach the age of 7, and when they reach the age of 10, discipline them for not performing it. This is a command of Allah, so it is fard, it is obligatory for people to teach their families. The father is responsible for everyone under his care. The Prophet ﷺ said, everyone of you is a guardian over another. And the head of the family is the father. He is responsible for the education of the wife, for the education of the children. The wife is responsible for the children and the household under her care. We have to begin da'wah with ourselves and then our families. The description of hellfire is very fierce, very severe. Allah says, the fire is fueled by burning people and stones, and very harsh angels, severe angels, are appointed as guards over them. They will not listen to anyone screaming to get out of there. Allah says they do not disobey Allah, and their strict order that day will be not to take anyone out of there. This ayah categorically and clearly tells us that simply having belief is not enough. Allah always says, أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. O people who believe and do righteous deeds. Righteous deeds can only stem from knowledge. Why would then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warn people of belief to stay away from hellfire? Protect yourself, because despite belief, people can fall into hellfire. And we know from the various ahadith that people who have done great sins, yet they were believers, will be thrown into hellfire. Ultimately, they will be taken out. And that will be after they have paid for their sins, or Allah has mercy upon them. Subhanallah, we have to protect ourselves. Simply having belief does not mean that we are going to enter Jannah. This is not a given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly tells us in this surah, Surah At-Tahrim, ayah number 6, believers need to be very cautious. Always be aware. Teach yourselves, what do I need to know so I can get into Jannah? What do I need to do, which I need to avoid, the forbidden, so that I will not be thrown into hellfire? We must have education of the halal and the haram in order to save us. Allah then addresses the kuffar. Ya ayyuhalladhina kafaru. O you who have disbelieved, make no excuses that day. You will only be recompensed for what you used to do. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Now Allah turns back to the believers. Tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. O you who have believed, repent to Allah with sincere repentance. True repentance. What is sincere repentance? To feel ashamed in front of Allah, and then to express to Him your regret. Seek forgiveness from Him, and then determine never to go back to that deed again. This is sincere repentance. Allah wants us to turn back to Him. This is an order from Allah. Allah says, perhaps your Lord will remove from you your misdeeds and admit you into gardens beneath which rivers flow on the day when Allah will not disgrace the Prophet, peace be upon him, and those who believed with him. Because people who believe also commit sins. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not disgrace Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, in order to be that part of the ummah which will be forgiven and with whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be pleased with, he will be proud to see us, we need to turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with all of our hearts, with all of your emotion. Center in all of your emotion into your heart. Think and concentrate. Think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think of the fire. Think of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy and His beauty. People in hellfire will not be able to see Him. There will be people whom He will not speak to, He will not look at. What could be a greater deprivation than that? May Allah save us from that. Ameen. Cry for your sins. And if you cannot cry, then pretend to cry. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will soften your hearts. Read the Quran. Remember death. Think of being parted away from families forever. Stand in front of the mirror one day and pretend as if you are standing before Allah. And that day, your heart will soften. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who have believed, repent to Allah with sincere repentance. Perhaps your Lord will remove from you your misdeeds and admit you into gardens beneath which rivers flow on the day when Allah will not disgrace the Prophet and those who believed with him. Their light will proceed from before them and on their right. They will say, Our Lord, perfect for us our light and forgive us. Indeed, you are over all things competent. So on that day too, du'as will be answered, but only the du'as of the believers, who will say, Rabbana atmim lana nurana waghfir lana innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Because on that day, the only way to see will be through this light. May Allah magnify it for us. Ameen. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, Allah says, O Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, strive against the disbelievers and the hypocrites, and be harsh upon them, and their refuge is hell, and wretched is the destination. There are times when one should be soft, and there are times when one needs to be harsh. They both have their places. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very soft by nature. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, be strict with the disbelievers and the hypocrites. Allah presents an example of those who disbelieved, the wife of Noah and the wife of Lot. They were under two of her righteous servants, but betrayed them. So they, meaning those prophets, did not avail them from Allah at all. And it was said, enter the fire with those who enter. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing these women in? Because this is also a reminder to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, all the ayahs in between are a reminder to the believers that within their families, people might be misguided. They might be behaving in a manner that is not appropriate for believers. So it is incumbent upon each other, family members, to teach each other, to remind each other, and also to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once they regret. Simply being a family member of a righteous person does not guarantee freedom from hellfire. And that is what happened to the wife of Noah and the wife of Lut alayhi salam. Allah says, the two wives, were under two of our righteous servants, but betrayed them. So they, meaning those prophets, did not avail them from Allah at all. And it was said, enter the fire with those who enter. And Allah presents an example of those who believed. The wife of Pharaoh, when she said, My Lord, build for me near you a house in paradise. While Asiya alayhi salam is being tortured by Fir'aun, her husband, and she is on her deathbed, she's about to die, she makes this beautiful dua out of sheer love. Rabbi binili indaka baytan fil jannah. O my Rabb, O my Lord, build for me near you a house in paradise, and save me from Pharaoh and his deeds, and save me from the wrongdoing people. It is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed her her house in Jannah just before she passed away. Allah also gives another example of a righteous woman, and the example of Mary, the daughter of Imran, who guarded her chastity. So we blew into her garment through our angel Jibril alayhi salam, and she believed in the words of her Lord and his scriptures and was of the devoutly obedient. وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. Allah wants the wives of believers, the daughters of believers, the mothers of believers, the sisters of believers to be like these women. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of the women of Jannah are Khadija radiallahu anha, Fatima radiallahu anha, Maryam alayhi salam, Asiya alayhi salam, and also another narration says Aisha radiallahu anha. Rabbana atmim lana nurana واغفر لنا إنك على كل شيء قدير آمين. رَبِّبْ لَنَا عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ آمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم جعلنا من التوابين وجعلنا من المتطهرين آمين. Allah make us of those who repeatedly turn to you for repentance and forgiveness, and make us of those who are cleansed. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifoon. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.